We're going to keep talking on the inner man and understanding who you are on the inside, who you really are once you're born again. It's important to me that we learn this, because once we see this, there's a hope that rises up in us that says, I can do all things through Christ. I can overcome anything that life throws at me. I can become all that God wants me to be. When you understand the process of growing and spiritual growth and why it's necessary, then you invest your time in things that change you rather than just being busy for God. I want to start in 2 Corinthians again and use one of our core verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And again, we're talking about the unique creature you became once you're born again. You're no longer of this world. You can go to your friends and your family and say, hey, I'm no longer a human. I'm no longer of this earth. My citizenship now is in heaven. I belong to heaven. I belong to God. I'm in the family of God. There's such a transformation that happens to us once we're born again. And when we get done through some of these teachings, I hope for us to see just how much of a miracle it is for you and I to be born again and to become children of God. Who is smarter than God to take a person like me and have me born in a race, a human race of a group of people that are destined for hell? There's no saving the human race. God cannot fix the human race. He had to create a whole new family called the children of God, and then through Jesus invite us to be born again, born a second time. How interesting is that, that we're born first to the family of Adam, your human family, but then you're born again into the family of God. Then to be able to replace everything around us. Think about this. You start off in one species called the human race. You're going to end up completely a different creature, a different species than what you were born. But somehow God was able to keep you there. He didn't take Alan and then say, okay, we're going to create another Alan. We're going to just stamp you out, squash you out, and then start a whole other family and put you in there, Alan. But it's a different Alan. The first Alan, actually, he disappears. Somehow, in all this transformation, I don't disappear. I don't stop existing. I stay there, and I go through all this amazing transformation to, in the end, I'm in the new heavens and the new earth with God in a new body, completely rebuilt, redesigned by God, completely born of God, no longer of this earth. None of Adam is left in me. I belong completely to God. What an amazing, amazing miracle it is for us to be born again. I think that it took more energy, more creativity for God to make this happen than it did for him to create the whole universe combined. It's such an amazing miracle for you to have the right to be born into the family of God. So we don't want to take it lightly, some of the things that the process that happens. We don't want to take it lightly, this miracle. A lot of believers, they take it lightly. They get born again, and they're happy they're not going to hell. And then they just live their life. And they go to church, maybe, and they do some good works. But they don't really see, maybe it's because they don't see the amazing miracle that happened, that they don't see the value of spiritual growth. Well, I hope in these lessons that I can encourage you and stir you up to see the value of what's inside of you already, because you're born again, and the possibilities that God has for you. And it doesn't matter your past or your family. The possibilities of walking as the children of God and growing into all that God has for you. So we're going to look at a few verses, and one of our core verses is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll just start in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. So this is one of our core verses that says we have an outward man that should be perishing, and an inner man that is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, verse 15, 17, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, which is our outward man, we don't look at our outward man, but at the things which are not seen, we look at our inner man. That's where we look for to see the possibilities of growth. You don't look at your outward man. Your outward man is limited by your family. It's limited by your heritage. It's limited by your intellect. The inward man, the new you, the person you that was born again, that you will be living in that body, is unlimited in knowledge. It can know as much of God as you want. You can grow and have as much of God as you want. You're not limited. Your outward man is tied into your family. When I go to the doctor, they give me a list, a bunch of papers. When I go for my checkup, and the papers say, place your name. And I put Alan Taylor. And then it says, have you had any of these symptoms? Have you had any of this in your history? Yes, no, 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 yes, no, no. And then it goes into my family. Has anyone in your family had cancer, diabetes, arthritis? And then on top of that, has anyone in your family had mental issues or suicidal thoughts or anger issues or alcoholism? Well, I can go down that list of the Taylor clan in my heritage of what I was born into, the family of Adam, and take my pen. And when it starts asking me about my family history, has anyone in the Taylor family or my history, in my family, has anyone had arthritis, diabetes, heart attack, high blood pressure, all the things? I can make a list and keep going all the way down. How about in the mental illness, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and anger issues? And you know what? My list would be all checked. I'll be saying, excuse me, nurse, the doctor left out some things that are in my family. You don't even have them on the list. I'd like to add them to my history. But see, now that I'm born again, technically I can go to the doctor and say, fill out your name. And I'll say, child of God. Because I don't really know my name yet that God's going to give me when I get to heaven. Child of God. Has anyone in your family had arthritis, diabetes, cancer? Not really, no. Has anyone had anger issues, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, mental issues? No. And then I have to stop and say, well, in the family of child of God, there was one who had all those things, and his name was Jesus. But he died and took them to hell with him and was resurrected in newness of life. So I really don't inherit any of those things. I only inherit a family that's pure and holy and righteous and healthy, and I have a right to that as an inheritance. And so when we know who we are in Christ, more so than just a saying, but really understand the miracle that happened at your salvation. God took out that nature of darkness from Adam and took it out and essentially killed you, and then resurrected you and gave you a new nature that came from him. And that new nature brought to life your inner man, your inner body. And now you have a fighting chance. Pastor Dave one time said, I don't want to hear nice preaching. I don't want to hear people just tell me that I'm good. I want to know the truth. Give me a chance. If I have to fight to stand for something and grow to learn something, just tell me, give me the path to grow in all the things that God has for me. That's all I'm asking for, a chance to fight, a chance to win. Don't just let me stay in deception and hide my whole life and then end up in heaven and realize I live my life for my flesh. Give me a fighting chance. And that's the hope in this message, is you'll see the potential that you have as a person that's not tied into the old family, the family you're born to in this world, but it's tied into the family of God, which you were born into the moment you were asked Jesus in your heart. Chapter 4, verse 18. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So this natural man and everything this natural man can bring into your life is temporary. But the inner man which is born again, it's not temporary, it's eternal. And so the things that you can't see your inner man, it's a spiritual body. But you have it, and that's who you are. That's who you live in. You have a spiritual body. That's who you're connected to. This old body, this natural body, will fall off of you. And then in your inner body, your new nature, and you will travel to heaven if the trumpet doesn't sound before then. Chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if this earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now here, this body he's talking about that's not made with hands is talking about your eternal body, your glorified body, the body that's going to replace the outward man. But until that trumpet sounds, and until you go to heaven, you're stuck with this natural outward man that's causing you trouble. It's called your flesh. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. So we are all hating having to fight this natural man. Why does this natural man just simply doesn't submit and go with God? Hey, natural man, we're going to get up and pray. No, we're not. Hey, natural man, we're going to give our life to God. No, we're not. Why do I have a fight every day with this natural man that I have to mortify? Why didn't God just fix it when I was born again? Well, we've learned because he couldn't. And we also learned that he has a replacement already in your account. A replacement body, a new body, an eternal body, a body that's not corruptible. It's already under your account. It's already purchased. It's just waiting until the trumpet sounds. And so we groan within ourselves, desiring to not have to fight every day. And this is talking about everything from sickness to disease, fighting to depression, anger, jealousy, fake love, fake emotions, all the natural man's plans and desires for you, that when you start following God and growing in the spirit man, you begin to live a life contrary to what your natural man wants. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. And this is just describing that there is a plan in place for you to have a new eternal body. So the nakedness here is simply talking about the people who've been saved since Jesus, born again since Jesus, that they are in heaven if they've passed away, and they're essentially naked. They have their inner body, but not their outward body. The outward body has not yet been given to them, because until the trumpet sounds, they cannot get their outward body. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. You know, we're not looking, God, just unclothe me, let me die and go to heaven. That's not the prayer. The prayer is, God, I can't wait till I don't have to fight this body, and I'll be free from the fight. Now, we're free now in Jesus' name because we're saved. We're free from sin. We're free from sickness and disease because of the price that Jesus paid. But there is a fight against the natural body to serve God, to believe, to follow God. And if you're not in that fight, you're missing the biggest part of Christianity, and that is the ability to transform. Many believers try to find preachers to tell them they don't have to fight anymore. You have it all now. You're free. God loves you just the way you are. So quit trying to fight your flesh. Just embrace God, embrace love, and the flesh will go away. The flesh does not just disappear. The flesh cannot be believed away, loved away, embraced away, cared away, identified away. The flesh, this natural body, must be dealt with, confronted, and it must be mortified. And only you can mortify that part of yourself, your flesh. But further clothed, that mortality be swallowed up by life. That when the trumpet sounds, the new nature authorizes the new body. It'll swallow up the old body and give out a whole new body, eternal body, that's already been purchased by Jesus Christ. And so we're waiting for this tent. Now, let's look over in 2 Peter. I'm just going to read a little bit out of chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. And so he was talking about spiritual growth here, and he says, I won't be negligent to not keep reminding you. Peter's one of those teachers where if you go listen to him preach, he preaches the same message over and over and over. You know, that's how you help people to grow. And he says, I'll keep telling you. You'll come to me, I'll give you the same message. There's only one message from Peter, and that is to grow into who you are in Christ. And from there, let the Holy Ghost lead you. And know you are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. So here he's using Jesus as an example, that what Jesus did, Peter's going to do, and you're going to do. And he's talking about laying down his natural body, being resurrected, and having a new body, a new eternal body. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So here's Peter even saying, even after I go, I'm going to have stuff, letters and teachings for you, and just to keep reminding you the same stuff I've been preaching to you over and over and over again. So many believers are out looking for the special key, the special anointing, the special move of God, and they're hunting and seeking here and there, trying to find a special something for revival. And Peter tells us here, hey, I'm just going to tell you the same old, because there's only one path that God has for you. And to me, that path is spiritual growth. So he says, I have this tent. I'm in this tent, and I'm going to have to put it off, and soon I'll put it off. So he talks about the outward man as a tent. Now look over in, just go over to 1 Peter, and in chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. We're going to learn a little bit about Jesus here today. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. This is chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verse 18. Bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the Spirit. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. So here it tells us that Jesus, after he died, preached to spirits in prison. Depending on who you listen to, you can guess who those people in prison are. We assume and believe that these prisoners were the ones in Abraham's bosom, that Jesus went and preached to them about how him as a Savior has now paid the price, and they can follow him out of prison and go up into heaven because Jesus had paid the price through his death, burial, and resurrection. I don't believe he preached to the people who were destined for eternity for the lake of fire and went and just told them, should have listened, suckers. Now you're in hell forever. I don't think he rubbed it in. I think this preaching is to the ones who were waiting for Jesus to come. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even people from Noah's day that were able to be saved and waited in Abraham's bosom until Jesus came. But we see here that after he died, now his body was taken off the cross and placed in a tomb. His body's in the tomb, and where's Jesus? He's not in his body. He's not in his outward man. I want you to see this. You have an outward man, and that outward man is not the same as your inner man. They're connected, but your inner man, your inner body, is alive because of a new nature. Your inner body is full of life and light. The new nature generates righteousness and holiness. It pushes holiness. This is the inner body you have right now. It's full of life, and it is generated by the Spirit of Christ in you, generated in righteousness and the ability to understand and know God. Your spiritual mind, your spiritual man, has the ability to know God and to understand God, the deep things of God. Doesn't matter your IQ, doesn't matter your past, your education. This is in you right now if you're born again, an alive, lit up inner body, and your outward body, which is going to fall off you one day, the same way it did Jesus, it is left to dead. It's left to death. It produces desires and plans and agendas that must be mortified when you get to know and understand the plan of God for your life. So Jesus, while his outward body is in the tomb, he is preaching to other people who are deceased on this earth, but they're still in existence. Every child conceived in the history of this world is still in existence today. Now, some are in existence in heaven. Some people who passed away, they weren't saved, they went to hell. But they're still there. They haven't disappeared. They're in existence. So Jesus preached to them while his body was on this earth. So it's important we see that he preached to them. Jesus did. He had an inner man. Now, as we talk about spiritual growth in Jesus, before we do that, let's go to Luke 16 and go over another one of our core verses. And I know you've heard me read this to you, but please just let me read to you again, because the imagery in these verses are so important that when you see what's inside of you right now and believe in the potential that you have in God because of what God did in you, to see the desire of God and the plan of God for you to grow and mature and to walk in the great things of God, you'll quit throwing it out and fishing for a miracle like, I need to find someone anointed to lay hands on me so his gift can go into me. I need someone's mantle. Someone left a mantle. God wants to give me that mantle. There's so many mantles that have been dropped. God has your own mantle for you. He has his own thing for you. Quit seeking other. There's crazy things that people do, trying to find a fast way to the anointing, trying to find a quicker way to their calling. And they all end in dead ends. And many of them have been so discouraged, they quit even trying to serve God with a passion, which they used to have, because they kept chasing the wrong rabbit trail, trying to find a use that God can do for them. Lord, let me have some more glory. I need this minister to lay hands on me. All those things are great, but make that the extra part. The most important part is not who you get to lay hands on you. It's who you become by the Spirit of God teaching you and causing you to grow. And so when you see the inner body that you have, you now see the potential for who you can grow into, because it's of God. You're born of God. God is the father of your spirit, man. He's not the father of your flesh. So that's why the flesh drops off of you. He's the father of your spirit, man. You're born of God. What's your limits? Who can stop you? The devil can't stop you. Your flesh can't stop you. The only one who can stop you is you choosing to go down the wrong path. Deception is dangerous. When you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. You think you're right. We all need to pray in tongues for the Holy Ghost to protect us from being deceived by chasing the wrong things. But we understand to have an inner body that's hungry for truth that comes from the mind of God, then I'm going to start feeding it that truth, that knowledge, so it will grow. Luke 16, verse 19. There is a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell off the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was the beggar died, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So now we have the two men, both have perished. The rich man's in hell. He ain't rich anymore. The poor man's in paradise or Abraham's bosom. He's not poor anymore. Their bodies are on this earth, but they're there. They're in the afterlife. They're there. They're in inner bodies. They have inner bodies. You have an inner body right now. So it was the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23, and being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So he's being tormented. He has a tongue. He sees a finger. He looks up with his eyes. And this is the man that's perished. He's in the afterlife. And so we can assume that if he's got a finger, he's got a hand. It's given us a picture. Jesus has given us a picture of who we are. Can you imagine trying to teach people who we are when they don't know who we are? Well, you have an inner body, you have a, come on, can't we just, I'm me and I just need to get better? You're not getting better. The gospel salvation isn't about making you better. It's about taking you from death into life. That's what the gospel's about. You were dead, you were born dead, but because you found Jesus, or he found you, now you're alive, and that life will never, never stop. You're alive forever. Your body may fall off you, but you'll still be alive. The people in hell, they're existing, but they're dead. They're separated from God for eternity. Even though they're in existence, they feel the presence of hell. They feel the torment of hell that's being described here. And they know that they're never getting out of there, because they're rightfully judged for resisting God, resisting salvation. So we know from this core scripture that we have an inner body. The inner body is what we live in forever. And ours has been made alive because of our new nature. We are now made alive in Christ. Let's go over now to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to discuss a little bit about this new man that we are and understand that you have to grow. Many years ago, I was asked a question, and I thought about this question. It's a real simple principle to think about, and you have to answer this for yourself. So the question is, when Jesus was born as a baby, little Jesus in Bethlehem, in the manger, little Jesus, just born, just 10 minutes old, and he starts to breathe on this earth and opens up his little eyes. Did Jesus, when he's a little baby, look up at Mary and look at Mary in the face and say to himself, "Hi, Mary. So good to see you. So wonderful to see you. I've been waiting to see you. I remember you. I remember everything. I created this whole universe. I'm Jesus. And I can't speak now. All I can say is when I try to speak is goo goo gaga. That's all that comes out. But I know everything, understand everything. I'm Jesus, the Son of God." Or was he a baby? And did he have to learn who he was the same way you have to learn who you are? Many Christians live this life and don't make an effort to learn who they really are in God, who God wants them to be. They just live through this life and survive. But there's a plan that must be walked out on purpose and not just throwing caution in the wind. So did Jesus know everything, or did he have to learn who he was the same way you do? Did he have to learn or build a relationship with his Father the same way you do? You now have to. Did he have to learn about his calling the same way you do? Did he have to walk in obedience and fight some of the same desires? We know he was tempted in every way but did not sin. So we know that because of his salvation, he didn't have to sin. You don't have to sin the moment you're born again. We also know that he had to build a relationship with his Father. He had to discover who he was. If you believe he knew everything, then that changes the way you look at yourself. If Jesus was born completely knowing who he was and was just trapped in this little body, then everything he did, every miracle he did, was because he was Jesus, God, not the Son of God. See, Jesus, the Son of God, he gives credit to the Holy Spirit for the miracles. He didn't take credit himself. So did Jesus as a baby know everything, or did he have to learn everything as he grew? Well, here's a hint for us to look at. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus, verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposingly him to be, have been within the company, they went the day's journey, and they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to him and asking him questions. So Jesus is 12. And he disappears on them. My mama, if Mary was my mother, I would have got a beating for sure. But, you know, like, I'm sure they're a little embarrassed. Like, how? We lost Jesus. Honey, we lost Jesus. He's gone. We lost him. We're horrible, horrible parents. We lost the Son of God, you know. So they come running back, find him 3 days later. Verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" This is where I would have got another smack from my mom. You know, don't talk back to me. I don't care if you are the Son of God. You don't talk back to your mama this way. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Now look at verse 51 and verse 52. These are very important. These verses are to help paint a picture of truth in us so we can understand who Jesus was. And like Peter said, he gave us a path to follow. He gave you and I a path to follow. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So here is an important verse to understand that Jesus himself had to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He had to make decisions, pursue growth to increase. Now at age of 12, he was already walking in so much wisdom and knowledge, he was starting to walk in who he was called to be in. We're going to look in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Let's look at that real quick. Jesus, quoting an Old Testament verse, says, we'll start in verse 17, when he's handed the book of Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and he quoted this verse. It got him in trouble. This was when he's in his hometown. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do these things. Let's go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, verse 10. Again, I'm trying to paint an image, a picture, using the scripture. For you understand how important spiritual growth is. Jesus had to grow, you have to grow. Jesus had to mature, you have to mature. Some people believe that the moment I'm saved, I have everything. Praise God, just do it. Great. If that's true, then let me bring a crippled baby to you and have you pray for it like Jesus did. Because Jesus said, we can do whatever he did. With things that I do, you shall do also. And greater things. So praise the Lord. If you have it all the moment you're saved, those people, they just simply confuse the new nature with the inner man. You are complete in Christ the moment you're saved, but you still have to walk it out. You still have to mature. You still have to bring forth that image inside of your new nature of holiness, righteousness. The image of Christ must still come forward in your inner man, and that image of the inner man must dominate the outward man. Otherwise, you'll live your life dominated by the outward body, by the natural man, and never really truly reach the potential that God has for you. He's already got your designed potential already laid out for you. The path is already set. You still have to walk it out, and yes, it is a fight, but once you win and keep winning, you don't have to stop winning over your flesh. Don't give up. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So another famous verse, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say, only do what I see the Father do. That means that Jesus, if he only said what he heard the Father say, Jesus the man was not the originator of the Beatitudes. He was only repeating what the Holy Ghost had taught him, was teaching him. And the Holy Ghost gets credit for those words. Here, Jesus was anointed. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus prayed for Lazarus to come forth, but Jesus was not the power. It was the Holy Spirit through the man Jesus that resurrected Lazarus from the dead. When Jesus opened the blind eyes, this means that it wasn't Jesus who opened up the blind eyes. It was the Holy Spirit through the man Jesus. In other words, Jesus was the authority, but the power and the anointing came from the Holy Spirit that came through the man Jesus. And when you see that, that helps you understand that Jesus had a walk where he had to grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding of who he was. And he had to listen to God every day and follow his steps, yield his will to God. And everything he did but was God working through him. It wasn't him doing it for God. See, it wasn't that Jesus was God doing all these things, because then there's no hope for you. I mean, when we want to make an excuse, well, why would you expect me to pray for the sick and see him recover? I'm not Jesus. Well, we know you're not Jesus. You know, I can just ask your friends. We all know you're not Jesus. But the truth is, you got Christ in you, the nature of Christ in you. You're the authority that God needs to do something in your world. You are. If he didn't need you, he would do it without. We'd all be in revival right now. The whole world would be saved if God did not need authority on this earth. The whole reason for Jesus and the callings is simple. He wants you and I to walk around this earth and do the damage that he did. Not because of our calling. He wants the whole body of Christ to walk around destroying the works of the enemy, having the Holy Ghost work through us. The same Holy Ghost that raised Lazarus from the dead. The same Holy Ghost that came upon Jesus, that was anointed on Jesus. The same Holy Spirit that opened the blind eyes and the deaf ears and set the captives free. The same Holy Spirit that pushed devils out of people. That's the same Holy Ghost that's in you and with you right now. All he needs is for us to have the authority to walk in that authority so that he can do the damage to the kingdom of the devil that he wants to. Well, that's good preaching there, Brother Allen, but how do I get that authority to grow in me? Well, again, as long as you understand that it can grow in you, you're not stuck where you are. You know, I remember getting around some preachers years ago, and they really pushed that you just need to go do it. Go out and do it. And so all of us went out, started to pray for people, and we saw some cool results. But then I remember hearing stories of people trying to walk across swimming pools because, bless God, if Peter could do it, I can do it. Walk across the swimming pool and drop to the bottom of the pool embarrassed while they wore their suit and carried their Bible, because they were trying to be men of faith, trying to prove that they had something. It's got to grow. It's got to be led by the Spirit. But nothing's impossible for you. Jesus had to grow. Jesus had to mature. You have to mature. You have to grow in the Spirit. Jesus had to obey God. You have to obey God. Jesus had to learn who he was called to be. You're the Son of God. He had to know who he was with God, learn his relationship with God the same way you and I do. Taking time to spend time with God, pray, fellowship with God. For us, we pray in the Holy Ghost. We grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. Jesus had to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. Jesus had to mature. He increased in wisdom and stature. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2, and then we'll wind down with this verse here. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. Jesus had to grow. What I believe, and you'll have to come up to your own answer. No preacher can give it to you. You have to decide. Did Jesus in the manger, was he complete and full? He was Jesus. He was from God. Did he know who he was? Did he know the whole universe? Did he see the sun going around the moon and around the sun sitting there and the earth and the moon going around the sun? I mean, and did he see the whole universe that he created? Or was he just a little baby that had to grow and learn who he was and learn to trust the leading of the Father, to learn to yield to the leading of the Father, to learn how to spend time with God so he can hear God, learn to believe that he was called to do what he was called to do, to trust that he could believe that? Did he have to go through the same process that you have to go through to know who you are, to trust that God's not going to lie to you, to build a relationship with your Father? Did Jesus have to do that too? You have to decide. Because if you believe that he was just a baby born and had to grow in those wisdoms and in the truth and the knowledge, then there's hope for you in your growth, in your maturity. If you believe that he was God trapped in a baby's body but was capable of all things, then you have no chance to walk or talk or to act or live like Jesus did. Again, we know you're not Jesus, so we don't have great expectations as far as being perfect, like he was perfect. But he set the example for us that we can live that way. We can live holy the moment we're born again because we have the new nature. We can live in anointed and change the world. We can lay hands on the sick. All these things are possible because of Christ in you. Let me go to John just a little bit. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and if it's sufficient to us. Jesus said, I've been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? This is how much Jesus considered himself to be intertwined with his Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak in my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So here again, Jesus wasn't doing the works. The Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me and I'm the Father, and believe the Father in me, or else believe for me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. The point here being, Jesus was a man. He was the Son of God, but he walked on this earth as a man in the same ability that you have, now that you're born again, to walk with God as your Father. How many of us can say to our family and our friends, hey, if you see me, you know who God is. You know who my Father is. If you see me when no one's looking, if you see me when I'm by myself, if you see me what I'm watching on TV, if you see me driving down the street, if you see me in the restaurant, you will know the Father because I'm just like him. I've grown. See, this is the point. You can grow to that place of holiness, that place of devotion. We can become like Jesus in this world, walking dedicated to the will of God, to the work of God. We can come to where we know our Father so intimately that we don't want to let him down. We don't want to live our life our own way. We want to give our life to him as a gift, as an offering. My life is yours. We want to walk where he wants us to walk. We want to say what he wants us to say, that our life becomes so much entwined with our Heavenly Father that if you see me, you should know the Father because he's in me. This is the walk that God has for us. If we don't see the inner man, then you might say, well, hey, I'm just the family that has a list of all the problems. And so that's my history and that's my future. Hey, Doc, I filled out that sheet of all my problems, the Taylor family, and because all my family members had all these issues, there's a good chance that that's going to come forward into my future. But you don't have to say that anymore. You can say, I have a blank sheet here because the Father is in me, and that means that all things are possible. I don't have to accept any disease or sickness or brokenness or poverty or things from my heritage, from my natural family. But I can receive all the things, the promises, the blessings, the holiness that comes from my spiritual family, from God. If you believe that you're born again, you believe that you have the capacity because of your inner man being alive, then you'll quit making excuses because of your natural man. And you'll quit making excuses because of your heritage, because of your past, because of your brokenness. And you'll start believing that all things are possible for you, that you can grow in the things of God like Jesus had to grow. You can grow in relationship with your Father. And I say you, we can grow in a relationship with our Heavenly Father so much that we one day may have confidence to say, hey, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So many people are after the works. They're after the miracles. They're not laying hands on people and not seeing results, not seeing them recover. They're saying, well, I can do what Jesus did. But they miss this other verse that's before it that says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, like this should be more important than the works, is the intimacy, the relationship. And when you spend time with God, your inner man has the ability to fellowship with God, to know God, to receive the love of God. Even if your outward man, your flesh can't receive the love of God, your inner man can receive the love of God. Nothing is impossible. Believe that God has great things for you. Don't give up. Don't accept second best. Quit chasing the wind. Quit chasing all these other preachers. They can't give you what only God can give you. And that's going to come in your prayer closet. That's going to come from you spending time with Him the way Jesus spent time with His Father. You got that same path. Jesus had to grow. You have to grow. Let's keep growing. The world is going to be shaken by revival, and I want us to be a part of it. God bless you. Thank you for spending time with me.